this is a, I did this song recently, and I do music with, I do music with the men in the prison. They seem to love to sing. It gives them, I guess, some kind of a release. One thing I try to do in the prison is to do whatever I can to make the men at the time feel that we're not in prison. I don't say, here you, you know, here we are, you're locked up, you've been arrested, you know, so I don't deal with that. Try to take their minds away to the Lord. And about you, but this song is this hymn. Well, it just says what I need. I just need the Lord, and I need Him every hour. I was sharing with somebody last night, and you can do it. By the way, you can preach your own message and say what you want to say. But I tell you, say this, and you can do it with this statement, whatever you want to. Whatever you want to. But I feel closer that I get toward heaven. I try to understand what I'm saying. I say the more unclean I feel. That the closer you get to the light, that's all I can try to understand or explain it. Closer I get to the light, the worse this looks. You can sing along with me. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. to invite your attention to several verses this morning. I was thinking on this subject this morning. I want to talk about that name that is above every name. And you asked me to quote it the other day. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us very plainly that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I think we have missed out in this day and age on the name of the Lord Jesus. As many times you can hear, perhaps even sermons or church services or whatever, where the name of Jesus may not even be mentioned. Let me tell a little story first. And it's one of the, I shouldn't put this on tape, but I'm going to, or on recording, but I'm going to. I was at a meeting where different of the volunteer groups that participate in the different ministries in that facility. You know, they got the Mormons, and they got the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they got the Hoodoos, and the Hindus, and the whatevers, and the whatnots. And they have a yearly dinner thanking the ones who come in volunteer to teach their groups and so on and so forth. The head chaplain there normally gives the invocation before the dinner, some sort of thing, but he happened to turn the invocation over to the Muslim fellow to give the invocation for the dinner. And the fellow stood up and he began, Allah, I lost count. He must have mentioned Allah 15 to 30 times, at least. And by the way, let me say this. It's just us here. There isn't going to be any fancy sermon. I tell you, it's just us here. I would expect him to. He had enough hair on his chest to mention the name of his God. Would you expect him to do any different? That's not the end of the story. I happened to be sitting at a table of Catholics. You know, they put your name tag wherever you're going to sit, and I got seated I always enjoy that because it's an opportunity to talk about the Lord. And after that fellow finished, I asked, I looked at the Catholic folks there, and I said, do you mind if I pray for our food? And they got it immediately. The one fellow said, he said, please. And then they said, yes, please do. And so I started praying. I didn't go, oh, please, our Father. I started praying, our Heavenly Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, you'd bless this time of be with these folks here. And I wanted to bless that time. So I could talk, you know. And I was praying seriously, and then I finished my prayer in Jesus' name. And then the Catholic folks did this. You know, and they didn't do it like this. They didn't just make a little circle around their nose. They did it openly. I was glad they did. I mean, it was just an open, you understand, they were referring to Jesus. I looked at the Catholic folks there, and they were, well, let me go on to the end. After the dinner, the Protestant chaplain got up, and he says, oh, God, you know, thank you for everybody and what they do here and how they all work together. As if God didn't know they work together. I mean, you know, you're just informing God what's going on. And he talked about the volunteers, how wonderful they are and all this stuff. And is that some kind of a prayer? Well, anyway. And at the end he said, amen. I looked at those Catholic folks and I said this. That man should be ashamed of himself. I said, the Muslim guy, he mentioned Allah probably 15, 30 times or whatever. I said, this man didn't mention the name of Jesus not one time, not even once. And As I heard a preacher say one time, he says, it's not a matter of, you know, we don't have to vote on, we don't have to vote democratically on whether we're going to use the name of Jesus or we're not going to use the name of Jesus. It's becoming popular even in the military, where they tell military chaplains that they're not allowed to pray in Jesus' name and so on. That's something we don't have to vote on. Was it Psalm 2? In verse 6, he says, I have set my king on my holy hill. It's God that has exalted his son, the Lord Jesus, and given that name which is above every name. And we are told in the word of God that we are to pray in Jesus' name. And we talk about everything and anybody and everything in the world but him who is the light of the world. And the name of Jesus is lost in the shuffle somewhere. Unless somebody's swearing. I'll tell you what, the name of Jesus was precious to my Christian grandma. She was a thorough Christian. And she came off the boat from Sweden. And if something went wrong, something happened, oh, she would just hold her hands in front of her heart and she'd say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she wasn't swearing here. She was calling on the name of the Lord. And I got news for you. My Bible still says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it's becoming very popular, even in Christian circles. I do some chaplaincy at a facility, not the prison. I'm not a chaplain in the prison, but I do it at a mental facility. We've got a number of chaplains there, and I made the statement of this. I said, if you want somebody to pray and not use Jesus' name, I said, don't you ask me to pray. I said, because this book that I have tells me that I'm to pray in Jesus' name. Not in his name or that name or no name or whatever. We have, there's one chaplain that ends prayer this way. In God's most holy name. Well, that sounds real religious, doesn't it? Well, what God? Who are you talking about? What name? In God's most holy, what God? All right, having said that, I'd like to just look at a few places. I think I've just about spent, that's about the end of the sermon right there. That's about the end of the message. if you turn with me in your Bibles, we're going to go to the Old Testament for just a moment. Let me get rid of this notebook here. turn back with me to Exodus. In chapter 20, and you're all familiar with this passage, and the subject of a name. One of the commandments has to do with a name. Exodus chapter 20. In verse 7, it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, that's the only commandment that has that, is it a codicil or whatever that added to it on the end. That important, that God will not hold him guiltless in reference to his name. Let's go back a few chapters, back to chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? Brother David was speaking about the foundations last night, and I appreciate that. And we were talking there just a little while ago about the 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talks about the foundation. No other foundation can be laid that is laid. And that foundation is, not isn't in Jesus Christ, it is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. He is the foundation. And so we see the importance of the name. Hey, the Egyptians had gods with names. You see all these people in these cults and stuff, and them giving incantations and stuff. What are they doing? They're calling on what? The name of their god, or their demon, or their spirit, or whatever. They're calling on names to identify who it is they're talking about. And I think it's just about time, even in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, supposedly the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we start identifying who it is we're talking about, right, and who he is and what he's done. And they refer, I mean, Jesus, 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 hallelujah, Jesus, amen. Very interesting, I still think on this verse in Matthew 1 and verse 23, it's taken from Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Matthew 1 and verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I looked at that and it says they call his name Emmanuel. Now it doesn't say his name will be Emmanuel. It says you call his name Emmanuel. That name Jesus is God with us. Now maybe that's a strange interpretation or whatever, but I can look at that. You'll call his name Emmanuel. Let's move on. I'm just chasing down some verses here. In Acts chapter 1, and I want to spend just a moment or two over in the book of Acts. At the foundation, we were talking about foundation last night there. Brother David's talking about the foundation out of Psalm 11. And in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto what? Me. And of course, if you're a witness, anybody ever been in court? Or you watch the program on TV on court, somebody says, well, so-and-so told me, they say, strike that, it's not admissible. You can't give what so-and-so said they saw him. Well, that's not, you have to get, as a witness, you tell what you have seen. And let me say that, if you don't have anything to say about Jesus, well, I'll say, have you seen him? I mean, how important is he to, and I know it's just six, seven people here, but how important is he to you if you don't bring up his name? Now it's about time to get serious about that. We're living in such a day where they're lopping off heads for folks, and I don't care whether they're Coptic or what they are, but they supposedly represent Christianity. And they're lopping off the heads of people that at least have something to do with Christianity. Many times in our churches we're talking about everything about it, him in whose name is power in itself. it says you will be witnesses unto you, unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's right, hometown, and in all Judea, surrounding area, in Samaria. You mean those folks too? Yeah, those folks too. Samaria, the Samaritans. We don't like them folks. Well, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
and the othermost parts of the earth. And what is their witness to be to the othermost parts of the earth? We just told, he says, you'll be witnesses unto me, Jesus. I spoke a message recently in prison about the outlandish claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. That'd probably be one point in this message. I don't know where I'm going with all of this. But, Jesus said, come unto whom? He said, come unto me and I will give you rest. You have to have something to be able to give it. You have to have a testimony to be able to give one. You have to know Jesus to, there's some folks who talk about him, I suppose. But if we know something, turn with me over to John chapter 7 for just a minute. Over to John chapter 7. And let me finish on on Matthew 11 there, 28. Turn over to John chapter 7 for just a moment. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I. Can you imagine Jesus standing up in the middle of a crowd somewhere, or somebody, let's say you're out in the middle of the street somewhere, and some guy stands up and says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You'd think he'd lost his mind. What do you mean you'll give me rest? The outlandish claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now John chapter 7, and starting with verse 37. And in the last... In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. What a claim is that? Here's a guy, he's standing there in the middle, they're having the feast and all the things they were going through and the sacrifices and the offerings and the dealings and the whatever they're doing, all this stuff. And somebody stands up in the middle of them all and says, if you're thirsty, come to me. What did he mean what he said? What did he mean? Well, he meant, if you're thirsty, come to me. Sometimes I say that in the prison. The guys, I say, what is that? I'll read a verse. I say, what does that mean? And they'll look at me kind of funny, and then I'll look down. I'll just read it again. Some of them have caught on. I say, what does that mean? They'll read it back to me. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And notice what he says. He says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Back in the days when I was working my way, trying to get through Bible college, seminary, I had a job working out in the woods. And I was out there in the woods all by myself all day long. Now, I'm not crying the blues. It's just that's the kind of job that I had. I had to take an axe, and I was working like a lumberjack swinging an axe all day long. I had to kill trees. They had the good ones, and then they had the ones that were scrubs, and they had them marked, the forester had marked the ones they wanted killed. I had to go around the tree and cut what's called a girdle, 2 inches wide and an inch deep, to make sure that tree would die. I backpacked in and I killed 2 rattlesnakes while I was in there. It was in snake country and all that stuff. I carried a canteen and my lunch. And one day I came to this rock that was nearly as big as the front of this, maybe just a little shorter, but as big as the front end of the tabernacle here. And right at about the middle of that rock was a hole about as big around as a baseball. Somewhere around the size of a baseball coming out the base of that rock. And you could see down in there kind of whitish or bone colored. And somebody told me that was calcium. But that water was just coming right up out of there. Where it was coming from, I don't know. I couldn't see where it was coming from, but I tell you what, I could see the water. And that water was so cold, and this is like August. I think my canteen was aluminum, and I filled it up with that water, and ice formed on the outside of that canteen. Now, why was that? Because the water was so cold and the air was so warm that whatever. And so I took a couple of swallows of that water. You know, I took a couple of swallows of that water. Well, this is good. You talk about getting a headache in a hurry. That water was so cold, but it was coming out of the ground. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I'll just read that verse again. Jesus says, he that believeth on me, not just follow, you know, a lot of our churches, well, you know, you do this, do that, don't do this, don't do the other thing, don't do the other thing, do this, do that, don't do the other thing, do this, do that, and don't do this, and make sure you don't do that, you'll be a good Christian, you do that. Jesus says, if you believe on me, out of your belly, that means that's referring to your innermost being. First, what's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 say? He says, for we have not received a spirit, that spirit which is of the world. We have received that spirit which is of God, that we know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then in verse 14, what does it say? 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, talking about the natural man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He can't know them. He cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, really accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and he becomes a part of you out of your innermost being because, you know, it's God is at work in you. God is at work in you. Like I said, that water was coming from on that hillside there, was coming down from who knows where. Pure and clean and cold, and was just coming forth. Like Brother Finnegan says, if you got it in you, it's got to come out somewhere. If it has to blow your hat off. And that makes me wonder, God help us. You never hear a word about Jesus from people who are supposed to be followers of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said, what did Jesus say in Matthew 4 and verse 19? He says, you follow me, and I will make you to become what? Fishers of men. It doesn't say you can study a whole lot, and not again studying. And maybe you'll be able to become some kind of a witness. We read Acts chapter 1. When you see the Holy Ghost and God work, accept Christ, and something's going on inside of you, and you become a witness for the Son of God. And I got news. The foundation, according to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, that we need in this day, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk about our churches all we want. By the way, you can talk about religion all you want to, different people, this and that and the other thing. But you bring up the subject of Jesus and his outlandish claims. I am the way. What? You are the way? Yes, I am the way. John 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It tells us in John chapter 1, in him was life. And he not only gives us life, he is life. You know, it says in 1 John that it says God is love. He not only has love for us and gives us love, but he is love. And if you possess the Son of God, you're gonna have light because it's him. If you possess the Son of God, you're gonna have love. It doesn't mean you like everybody. It doesn't mean you like what they do at all. But you're gonna have some concern, compassion. You know, I sometimes tell folks about, you know, prison ministry. Oh, them people in there. You know, them people in there. Yeah, what about them people out there? I mean, God help us to get our spiritual head on straight, or mind on straight about the things about what saith the Word of God. We come along with God didn't ask you what you think about it. I know the Bible does say, come, let us reason together. But you're reasoning toward God. You're not reasoning toward your own reason. This is God, again, too. Again, this is God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He not only has light, he is light. And if somebody is a possessor, they say they're a Christian, they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. There ought to be some light somewhere. And that doesn't, probably wouldn't be a bad idea, but that doesn't mean we're slapping everybody in the face that everybody in the face with our Bible that we come across. But we are a testimony. Yeah, and by the way, you're either a good testimony or a bad testimony, but you're some kind of testimony. And God help us. Turn with me for just a moment to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6. And Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Some of you already have this memorized, I know. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? Now that's a stop, look, and listen verse. Stand ye in the way means stop. And see, look. And ask, well, that means you're going to have to listen. Where is the good way? Where is the good way? Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said what? We will not walk therein. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. So they're not going to walk, they're not going to listen. But they're going to claim that they're from Israel. Now go over with me to chapter 7. And notice in verse 14. He says, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name. Chapter, verse 14. Called by my name. Look in... Notice, once these folks have rejected, and say, we will not walk, we will not listen, there comes a time, I hope you understand this, and of course it has to be under the leading of God, that there comes a time when you turn folks over to God. I said, the guy's in prison recently. I said, one of the most serious prayers that you can pray is, God, do whatever it takes. I know a man prayed that for his daughter who had turned the wrong way. It cost the life of a child to turn that daughter. You pray, do whatever it takes. You better be serious about God and the things of God. Verse 16, he says, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. They wouldn't hearken, they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't walk. Don't pray for them, I won't listen. They wouldn't listen to me. Now, don't get me wrong, there's folks we've prayed for years, and we continue to pray for them. But sometimes there comes that time when we just say, what happens? That they get turned over to God for his judgment. And when his judgment may fall upon them, perhaps then they turn. Sometimes that's what it takes. Remember Israel, God turned Israel over to their enemies. And then when the enemies come in, when they'd finally had enough, oh God, oh God. I asked the prisoners there just recently. I said, "How many of you are, how many of you are satisfied with yourself?" I asked that question. How many of you are satisfied with yourself? I said, "I'm tired of me." And one guy down there says, "So am I." And he says, "Oh no, I don't mean you, brother. I mean myself." And I said, "I like to look." I said, "I don't even like to look in the mirror." I said, "You know why?" I said, "You know who I see? I see me." And God help us to get tired of ourselves and have our heart set on the Son of God, our Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Turn, you know that, we talk about people at frequent bars, or they frequent this place. I tell you, we ought to be frequenting the name of Jesus at every turn. When we're among the mighty or we're among the weak, we're in the high place or whether we're in the low place, or we're with the sick or the dying, Jesus, 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 He is still the answer. It says in Psalm 17 and verse 15, you need to mark this one in your Bible. Psalm 17 and verse 15. Psalm 17, verse 15 says that I'll be satisfied when I awake in righteousness. Let me, I don't want to, my theology professor said, if you can't quote it straight, turn to it. He said, never misquote God. He says, as for me, Psalm 17, verse 15, he says, but as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Let me say this, that is my hope. That when I see the Lord, as it says in Isaiah 65 and verse 17, I believe it is. It says, the former things shall not be remembered. They will not even come into mind. Revelation tells us that no thing will enter heaven that defiles. That those things are left behind and not even come into mind. And I will behold him in righteousness. Why? Because this mortal cannot inherit immortality. And this corruptible cannot inherit incorruption. But when the trumpet sounds, we shall not all sleep. Praise God, but we'll be changed. Amen. And I will behold him in righteousness. Perfect righteousness. This earth and this whatever will be done away. I don't know what your Bible says, but that's what mine says right there. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. Notice what it says. I shall be satisfied when? What does it say? When I awake with thy likeness. That's when I'll be satisfied. And if you're a believer today, that's got to be your confession. I'm not going to be satisfied till I behold his face and I awake in his likeness. When I look in the mirror and, like I said, rather than seeing me, I'd just as soon see Jesus. Be more being conformed to him as his image. Amen. Make me more like, more about Jesus, what I know, you know. More about Jesus. Be more like Jesus. God help us. Amen. Be more like Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know, you've got these people, they got they got pictures on their wall, your kids usually, their favorite rock star, their favorite basketball player, their favorite, you know, whatever. You know, why? And they wear shirts with the football player's name on it or whatever. I want to be like him. What about being like Jesus? Well, one thing about being like Jesus, if Jesus lives inside of you, you know that old saying, let go and let God. Well, I tell you what, you need to just let go and let God. What's it say in Galatians 2 and verse 20? Come on. For I'm crucified with Christ. I am. I am, not was. I am. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What's that say, brother? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's kind of like we got to let him out. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I mean, have you ever walked into somewhere and the people don't even know who you are, and all of a sudden the conversation changes? That's not because I'm special or you're special. But I'll tell you what, if you have the presence of God in you and you enter in where there's foul spirits, there's some attention going, the spirits recognize it. And I'm not trying to be mystical. I'm just saying it's a reality. We talk about these things, oh God, you know, he lives in my heart. Hey, if you're saved, he does. You know, we got churches, and I don't mean to be criticizing the churches. You know that you can worship without Christ. You know, those folks are it says they're worshiping the golden calf. They were worshiping without God. You see, these religions, the folks blowing themselves up, they worship Allah, these other folks, the Hindus and the hoodoos and the what's nots and the whatsoevers. They're worshiping. You can worship without God. And we got churches that are so-called worshiping and without Jesus. You know, they can jump up and down. If you're excited in the Lord, you can jump or run if you want to. That's all right. I'm not, okay. But I'm telling you, we got a so-called excitement and entertainment and all the stuff going on and so forth. And it may be a Christless worship. I drew an illustration for the... we don't have the board up here, but I drew an illustration, which is, I think, is very helpful in counseling for prisoners, and I use it in counseling. I draw a stick man on one side of a board or on a paper, a stick man, and put the word darkness over top, okay? And I draw a line, and I put another stick man on the other. I'm a real good artist. A stick man on the other side, and I put light, and I put a line in between. And then I put an arrow going over that, over from one side to the other. I said, when you get saved, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, says what? He said, we have been translated. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of light. And we didn't do that. It's an operation of God.
Yes.
And I put an arrow going back the other direction. And I say, now, the guy on this side is living in the kingdom of light. Might do something sometime. God help us if we don't. He might do something that looks like he lives up back over yonder. God help us if we don't do wrong. But I said, but he is still a subject of the kingdom of light. But I said, but here's the serious thing. Well, that's serious too, but let me say this. You can be in that kingdom of darkness, and I have the arrow going the other way, and I say, you can be in the kingdom of darkness and do a lot of things that look like you're a member of the kingdom of light. You can go to church and whatever and pray and do all kinds of stuff and maybe even preach. Worship, do all this kind of stuff. I said, but you're still in that kingdom of darkness. If you haven't been translated into the kingdom of light. It's 11 o'clock. We need to hurry on. I'm beating around the bush here. Turn with me back to the book of Acts for now. And I want to point out something in the book of Acts. As you're turning there, I want to refer to something. I saw this little article I have here. It's a little article that was in a kind of a Christian magazine of some sort. And is a picture of this dear lady here. Who'd been selling herself. And after she got saved, the regret that she had over the dirt and the filth. And the name of her article was this, Overcoming Regret and Shame with Truth. That the Savior is able to make the foulest clean. We awake with him for we shall behold him as he is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. You know, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him. Why? For we shall see him as he is. 1 John 3, 2, and I use a CXF cross reference. That's my cross-reference. Cross reference that with Psalm 17, verse 15. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. when I behold him face to face. Who? Jesus. 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 I just walked down the street in our town up that way, not our little town, but a town next to us that has the bells play at lunchtime or on the hour. And this one church has the carillon bells or whatever. They play a hymn, you know. Ding, 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 ding. They play a hymn. Man, I was walking down the sidewalk, and it just hit me. It was a hymn, you know, it was about Jesus. I was walking down the sidewalk singing a hymn about Jesus. And, you know, maybe the folks thought I was nuts. But I tell you what, that might be like the one guy said about witnessing. I went to a witnessing seminar one time. The guy made one good point. He said they did a study one time, and he said that it took an average of 6.7 times a person being witnessed to in order to get him converted. He said he didn't know where the number came from, but they, you know, statistics are just. But he made it, he says, you know, you just might be that 0.7. He said, if you were on an elevator and you're going up just a couple floors and there's 11 people on there, you might not be able to stop witness to each one of those persons. He says, start, do something. Start humming a hymn. It might be that one person on there who's been witnessed to and witnessed to and witnessed to, and all of a sudden they say, hey, here's somebody, it's real. It's real. That you're doing something to raise the consciousness of eternal things in that person somehow. You know, just give me a second here. I'll get to Acts. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. You know, people lose their job, and people are sitting there twiddling their thumbs all day long playing video games. They don't have any hope. They don't have anything. You know, the quickest way to get them out of depression is get them to. It just naturally is getting them to do something. 7 verses later, Proverbs 13 verse 19. I use this in counseling. Proverbs 13 verse 19 says, "A thing accomplished, or the desire accomplished, or fulfilled, is satisfying to the soul." You know. You do something and finish something or complete something, and you say it gives you a sense of satisfaction. Let's go on to the book of Acts. But being in business for the Lord is... I guess my point on that was this. You may not know exactly what to do for the Lord or whatever, but do something. It may be big, it may be small, but let the Lord lead you and do something for the Lord. Give a word for the Lord somewhere. Give somebody an encouraging word. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them there's hope. And not only, man, again, he not only gives us hope, hallelujah, he is our hope. And by the way, Jesus said, I am the resurrection, in these outlandish claims, I am the resurrection and the life. What kind of a claim is that? He not only is going to raise us from the dead, he is the resurrection and the life. I mean, I'm never going to, this thing I'm living in is going to quit clicking and ticking one of these days, but I'm never going to skip a beat. He that liveth and believeth in me shall what? Shall never what? Shall never die. And the promises we've got in God, I'm telling you, is something else. Again, in Acts, you know, Jesus said, too many verses here, but Jesus says, whoever shall deny me before men. That sounds pretty serious to me. He says, him will I deny. I think we better be careful. There's a whole lot of denying going on here. Well, I'm like, I can't use Jesus' name. I can't pray. They told me I can't pray. You'd better pray in his name. I tell you, why wouldn't you want to? If he's, you know, somebody you love and somebody you know and you care for, somebody meets somebody important. Hey, I met the prisoner. I met the governor. Oh, I met, hey, you get all excited. How about I met Jesus? Amen. And he would deny me. And yet Jesus says that he would not deny himself. Now, who are we supposed to deny? I know in Ezekiel 36 and verse 21, is it? And of course, I know we say that's talking about Israel, but that's how God deals with people. Takes out an old heart and puts in a new one. Takes out an old spirit and puts in a new spirit. And after he's done that, it says, then you shall loathe your evil way, your ways. You look and see yourself. I tell prisoners, I say, when you get saved, you get a pair of these. You start seeing the world for what it is and start seeing these things in Scripture. And you look at yourself and you didn't know how bad it really was. Till you really see in Acts, and let me give you just a few verses in the book of Acts, and the importance of the name of the Lord of the Lord Jesus. Let me just ask this question. We don't have to read all the verses, but in Acts chapter 1, and Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit would come, he says that you'll be witnesses unto me. Well, in Acts chapter 2, what happened? The Holy Spirit fell. And what started happening? Okay. I invite your attention to Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. When he got down to what his message was, after he said, well, this is not what you're seeing. They said, well, these men are drunk. He said, no, this is what the prophet told about this. But then he started his message in verse 22. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. What's the first word that he says? Jesus of Nazareth. And you go down through Acts, and all you in verse 21, whosoever call upon what? The name of the Lord. What name? Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's none other name than what? And what were these, to make it short, because we're out of time, what were they in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or say, well, that was the birthday of the church, or the beginning of the church, and the foundation of the church. What were they founding the church on? Hallelujah. Everywhere they went, it was Jesus, 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 hallelujah, Jesus, amen, Jesus. And what were they commanded to do? The same thing they're being commanded to do today. Don't preach in this name. Don't you pray in his name. You can refer to God, but you can't refer to Jesus. Don't pray in Jesus' name. And we're getting that same command right now. And I tell you what, we better stand rather than take their command. And that was the final. You say, well, the church spread. Look how it grew and then whatever and so on. Well, what was the, they say, well, it was the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah, the Holy Ghost gave up. What was the job of the Holy Ghost? Jesus says when the Spirit would come, the Comforter would come, he says he'll do what? He'll teach you all things. He'll teach you all about me. And when somebody says they're full of the Holy Spirit and whatever, I always say this in my mind, I'd better be hearing something about Jesus coming out of them. Because that is the job of the Holy Spirit. To reveal Jesus and empower you to speak on Jesus and to make the name of, to raise up and magnify the name of our master. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you have one master. And no man can serve two masters. No man. How many's no man? Nobody. Well, I'm going to stop. But the importance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, we better get back to that. The foundation of the church, the foundation of our salvation. I mean, the foundation of creation. Without him was not anything made that was made. And who's that talking about? In the beginning was the Word. And in him was life. And he's light, the light of the world. I mean, I'm done. It's Jesus, 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 amen, Jesus, amen. Father, help us. May we magnify the name of your Son because you have lifted him up for us and made him the representation for us before you. Thank you, Father, that our salvation is in him and complete in him in whom all the fullness dwells. Thank you, Father, for Jesus and for the forgiveness of our sins. Encourage us this day. Bless us, Lord. And we just thank you again for this place and this time we can be together. And we give you glory for what you've done. Thank you for loving us when we didn't love you. We give you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.